Now we're turning to the Word of God, the Bible, and we're reading in Hebrews chapter 9. As I say, tonight's question is death. Is it the end or the beginning? I should mention as well, tomorrow night's subject at 7:45, tomorrow Thursday, is religion. Do all religions lead to God? And Stephen Grant, who was with us last night, will be dealing with that subject tomorrow evening in the will of God. But tonight we're facing up to this subject that quite often we don't want to face up to. Quite often we would rather put this to the back of our mind and not face the subject of death. But the Bible, God has much to say about this subject. And I would just like to read one verse from Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews is towards the end of the Bible, and it's in chapter 9 we're reading at verse 27. The Word of God says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." And we do look to the Lord for his blessing upon this very solemn reading. Now to the careful listener or the careful reader, you will find the answer to our question in the verse tonight. There is an afterword to life. There is a God to meet after every individual person dies. And death is final. Death is inevitable. And death, for the non-believer, for the person who is not saved, for the person who is still in his or her sins, death is an absolute tragedy. And death is just the gateway to unimaginable judgment from God that we're going to think about very solemnly and seriously tonight. I take no joy whatsoever from speaking about these things, but as a faithful servant of God, and as I trust a faithful messenger to you tonight in the town that I live, I want to warn everybody about the absolute tragedy of dying in your sins out of Christ and without a saviour, and to face death without the Lord Jesus. It's a terrible thought. I was reading this morning a very well known chapter, Psalm 23, and David, who wrote that chapter, said this: "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me." And it is wonderful to know that in this life that we live, with all its sorrows and with all its problems, and many people think it's hell on earth here and now, and many people think perhaps that hell would be a great, that death would be a great release from all the problems. Can I tell you, you cannot begin to imagine what it will be like to pass from life to death and then into eternal judgment from a holy God. And we'll face that from the Word of God as we proceed. Life's big questions. Death, is it the end or the beginning? I want to think with you about this question in two ways. I want to think about death as an appointment in time. An appointment in time. And then secondly, I want to think about death, a crossroads for eternity. A crossroads for eternity. Because the moment that a person dies, it is either going to be heaven or hell. There is no in between. There are many common misconceptions about the subject of death. Most people that I speak to don't want to face it. Most people just want to laugh it off and don't want to talk about it. Other people very boldly will say, well, it's just oblivion. And we die as animals, and there's no future after death. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, after death, the judgment. After death, the judgment of God upon every person who has rejected his Son. Upon every person who has continued to live in sin and dies in their sins and faces the God of holiness, the God of eternity, in their sins without a saviour. What a prospect. What a tragic prospect sadly for the majority of people. And let me say this, I looked up a statistic today. I knew I had it written down, and before I quoted it, I wanted to be sure of my facts. But apparently, according to those who record these things, 250,000 people in the world die today. 100 out of 100 die. Death is inevitable. It was Benjamin Franklin who wrote that there are only two certain things in life: taxes and death. Well, I suppose in some people's minds they think they can avoid paying tax. Some people might get away with it for a lifetime, not paying tax. But you can't avoid death. You cannot avoid death. It is an appointment in time. And both New Testament and Old Testament parts of our Bible underscore that. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Word of God makes it clear to everything there is a season, a time to be born and a time to die. The thing about the appointment with death is this, that only God knows the date. Only God knows the date. It's an appointment in time. It's somewhere in our calendar. We don't know the date. We don't know the day of our death. Old Testament writers put it very, very flowery in one way. They say there's just a step between me and death, and I do not know the day of my death. And whatever way we dress it up, we're all going to die. I had the privilege of meeting just a fortnight ago a gentleman who had turned 103 on the day that I met him. It's quite an age, 103, and he's as clear as a bell, his mind is clear, he's got all his faculties, and he got up the stairs in the gospel hall where I was having meetings quicker than most 53-year-olds, never mind 103. But you know what he said to me? He said to me, "My bags are all packed and I'm ready to go any day." He's 103, he's lived for 103 years, but he's ready to meet God, he's ready to die. And that is really the issue we want to face tonight. There's a date, there's a time in this life when we're going to leave it. An appointment in time. But at death it will be a crossroads. It will be heaven for some and hell for others. I wonder where you're heading. I wonder in this meeting tonight, where does this question find you? Are you prepared for that appointment? Are you ready to meet God? Because he is the one who will judge you in the person of his Son, God the Son, the Lord Jesus. He will be the one that we'll see later who will judge every person at that last judgment scene. You see, death is the end of all opportunity. You die in your sins. You've made your choice upon earth. You've made your choice regarding the Lord Jesus. It is final. That's it. But it's not the end of your future. There's a terrible future for the lost. There's a terrible future for the unbeliever. But on the other hand, there's a glorious future for the Christian. Death is just the gateway to glory for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And is there an afterward? Yes, there certainly is, but there's no judgment for the believer because the Lord Jesus has taken our judgment. The Lord Jesus has taken our place. The Lord Jesus has taken our sin away. The Lord Jesus is our Saviour, and there'll be no judgment, no hell, no condemnation. Now there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. There is no judgment ahead. There is just one glorious day, one glorious future of no more tears and no more suffering and no more pain and no more separation. Reunion with every loved one that has gone to be with the Lord Jesus. And it is wonderful to be able to know in time that yes, death will be a crossroads, but it will be the gateway to glory for every believer. Which side are you on tonight? Where do you stand in relation to this big question? If this was your appointed date, if the 7th of June 2012, because we've not finished it yet, we've got 4 hours yet to go in this day, if this was your appointed day, if this was the day that you died, where would you be 5 seconds after you died? Faces I once knew, someone has written, will not see me. Voices that murmur will not reach me. But where, oh where, will my soul be 5 seconds after I die? Is it the end of the beginning? It's the end of opportunity. It's the end of gospel preaching as far as you're concerned. It's the end of invitations from the Lord Jesus, who's willing to give you life and willing to give you rest and willing to fit you for heaven. But it's the only, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of unimaginable judgment for those who die without the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, no matter what people say, no matter what people say about death being oblivion, about death being just, that's it, you're 6 feet under and you cease to exist and that is it. No matter what popular opinion is, what does the Word of God say? The Word of God says this, that in the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, when God made Adam, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Man became a living soul in touch with God. And the soul that God gave to Adam is eternal. And the soul that God gives to each and every one of us, we're made up of body, soul and spirit. And yes, one day our bodies, which are decaying, will die. We'll die. We can't argue with that. We know that to be true. And if we face up to facts, we'll acknowledge, yes, I'm going to die, but I don't know the day of my death, but I am going to die someday. But the soul will live on after death. The soul will either, like Paul says, go to be with Christ, which is very far better, absent from the body at home with the Lord, or the soul will go to hell. Now that's the choice you make in time. That's the choice you make in time. We'll see later on that in the future, there's going to be a day when the unbeliever, his soul and his body will be reunited to stand at the judgment bar of God at the great white throne spoken about in the book of Revelation, the last book of our Bible, and there'll be a great assize, there'll be a great judgment seat, and then there is unimaginable suffering after that judgment is carried out. Can you see the absolute fallacy? And I am not in any way belittling anyone when I say this, but can you not see the fallacy of on headstones and at funerals, people who die without Christ, people who do not care about the Lord Jesus and live without him, do not care about sin, don't even acknowledge that there's a God in heaven and certainly don't live like it, and they have on their headstones, rest in peace. There is no such thing. There is only peace to be found in the Lord Jesus after death. There is only salvation to be found in the Lord Jesus. There is only heaven to be found in the Lord Jesus, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So if you live your life without the Lord Jesus, and without any preparation for eternity, and without any faith in the Lord Jesus, and without any forgiveness of sins, if you just live without the Lord Jesus, without hope, without Christ, and without God, can I tell you, after you die, there will be no peace. There's a man in the Bible, the Lord Jesus speaks about him in Luke chapter 16, in the third book of our Bible, New Testament. And this man, he lived without Christ. He lived a very full life, it seems. He enjoyed himself to the full. He had everything that this world puts a price on, but he did not have God's salvation. And he lived without Christ. He lived in pleasure. He lived in riches, but he did not have the Lord Jesus. He lived without Christ. He died without Christ, because the Bible says it came to pass this man died and he was buried. But the Bible also goes on to say that, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. So in eternity, he's without Christ. So there is a great afterward. That that scripture passage, that Bible chapter, Luke 16, proves to us that there is an afterward to life. That there is life after death. There's that man. His soul is in torments. He's aware of his circumstances. He's in great, great torment in hell. Oh, the tragedy of that. Because he had a contemporary who lived with very little of this earth's goods, lived as a beggar, but died in vastly different circumstances. He was saved in life, he was ready to die, and in heaven, that's where he is presently, and he's been there for 2,000 years. Again, which person would you rather be? Which person would you rather be in eternity? I'd rather be a beggar in life, begging bread, than a beggar in eternity, begging water, because that's what the rich man did. He says, send Lazarus that he might bring some refreshment, some cooling water to my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. What a tragedy to live without Christ. Some people will say, well, how can a God of love? How can a God of love send anyone to hell? Surely a God of love just admits everyone to heaven. You hear that quite a lot, don't you? Different people will say, well, there's no such thing as heaven and no such thing as God. We die as dogs and that's it. Finish. Other people will say, well, God will just let everybody into heaven. All religions will just take a different route up the hill and will reach the summit and will be in heaven. If that were true, why did the Lord Jesus come to die at a place called Calvary? If that were true, God's holiness, because he's a God of love, but he's also a God of holiness, God's holiness would be infringed upon. God's standards would be lowered, because God is a God who hates sin. God is a God who must judge sin. And by the very fact that people die, that is a result of sin entering into the world. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all. You see, unfortunately, our first parents, Adam and Eve especially, she listened to the lie that Satan told her. See, God said in the Garden of Eden, after he created man in his own image, after he provided a wife for Adam, after he'd given them an idyllic paradise to live in, he says, there's only one tree I forbid you to eat, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day you take that fruit, the day you disobey my word, and you take that forbidden fruit, you will die. You will die. And then Satan came to Eve and said, has God really said you'll die if you take that fruit? You will not surely die. Now, right at this minute, who was right, God or the devil? God says you'll die if you take the fruit. Satan, who's been a liar from the beginning, says you'll not surely die. And Satan is still telling lies to people. He's maybe saying to you tonight, can you rely upon the Bible? Is it the word of God? Can you rely upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus, God's Son at Calvary, to take away your sin? Maybe the devil is putting into your mind just now all these thoughts of doubt and pouring scorn on the word of God. Well, God's word is true. God cannot lie. And Adam and Eve did die. And every other person, every single person from that moment in the Garden of Eden have died. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We all die. We all die one day. We just don't know when it is. And the big issue is to be ready for that day. To be prepared by placing faith in the Lord Jesus. By trusting in his finished work, in his death upon the cross, and his resurrection. It is so vitally important to make sure that you're saved and you're prepared to meet God. That's what the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. The devil's been a liar from the beginning. He's the enemy of your soul, and he would even have you not take this subject seriously. Ah, just go and laugh it off. Go and watch whatever is on the box to keep you occupied. Get onto the computer, onto the stupid games of the day, just to keep your mind occupied with trivial pursuits, when this is reality. This is reality. Let me just say that salvation is not only a fire escape, a passport to heaven, an insurance. It's all these things, because no one who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ is ever judged. No one who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ ever finds himself in hell. It is salvation from the consequences of sin. It's salvation from the penalty of sin. It's salvation for the glory of God and for heaven. There are so many benefits to believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But even if this is what motivated you, even if it was the thought of dying and going to hell that brings you to the Lord Jesus Christ, God is still glorified and you are still saved. I remember speaking to a man in England, in the town of Bicester in Oxfordshire, and he really was not interested. He was not interested in the sufferings of Christ. He was not interested in what we were preaching. Almost for 2 weeks, he really, you could tell by his face, he was not impressed. He was a religion trier, if you could say. He had gone to the Mormons, he had gone to this, he had gone to that. And now he was at the tent. But one night, the other preacher spoke on the great white throne. Spoke about the final judgment. The great white throne, awesome. Great in the issues that proceed from that throne. Awesome because of the person who sits on the throne. White because of the purity and the perfection of the issues that come from the throne. It's a great white throne. You read about it if you have the bravery, courage to do so tonight in Revelation chapter 20, near the end of your Bible. You read about the great white throne. And the man who had no time really for the meetings, but just came out of curiosity, didn't leave the tent until he made sure he was never going to stand at the great white throne. He made sure that Christ was going to be his deliverer, his saviour from the coming wrath. And let us remind ourselves tonight that this is an appointment that everybody has to face. An appointment in time that cannot be avoided. But it's also a crossroads. If you're standing at a crossroads tonight, and you know in your heart of hearts that the Bible is true, it's the Word of God, and you know you are intelligent enough to know that you're going to have to face your Maker one day after death. People have to do that on a daily basis. I remember earlier on in the year, I spoke to a teenager who was very down in the mouth because his hero, he was a computer enthusiast, shall we say, one of these computer geeks that knew everything about computers, and his hero, Steve Jobs, had died. He was the man that brought Apple Mac computers into being, a very intelligent genius of a man. And the young man said to me, "I'm so disappointed that a man like that had to die so young." He said, "It doesn't matter how rich you are, how famous, how much of a genius you are, there's a time to die for us all." And if you've come to face that tonight, if you've come to waking up that you're living, we're all living on borrowed time. We're all a bit like Barzillai. How long, he said in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 14, he says, "How long have I to live?" It's the million-dollar question, isn't it? We don't know. We don't know. But if you've come to that crossroads where God has got your attention, and you know through circumstances, maybe through bereavement, maybe through what you're reading in the Word of God, maybe through just a turn of events, you know in your heart of hearts that I'm not here forever. My time is relatively short. My life is just like the steam from a kettle, as James says in his book, chapter 4, verse 14. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. If you watch like me, the decades just vanishing in the past, and where is time going?
And all too soon this life will be over. And what happens after we die? Where will we be? If you're interested in that, if you're at a crossroads, if you want to be sure of safety and certainty and security for the future and for peace and contentment and joy of salvation in the present, if you want these things, I want to bring Christ to you. I want to tell you that there is hope. There is a future of glory after death. There is peace to be found. There is contentment, rest and peace. You can do that. You can do that. But it's only to be found in the Lord Jesus. It can only stand upon a righteous basis. It's not on superstition. It's not on any fable. It's not in anything that you might see at a graveyard that is just the superstitions of men. It's rooted in the Word of God. It's fastened upon the work of Christ. It is safety and certainty and enjoyment in Christ. Maybe you'll just think, well, I'm at a crossroads and I'll just take my chances. I'll just take a leap in the dark and I'll see how it goes. Well, can I just take back the curtain to the crossroads that death brings? Can I show you what it's going to be like for a person to die without Christ, and then a person to die as a Christian? The person who dies without Christ, I believe, will know fully what's going on, because they will be transported immediately to hell. Transported immediately to hell. And in hell they will remain. And you see, how can a God of love do that? How can a God of love send someone to hell? Because hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But sadly and tragically, the devil has deceived and the devil has duped people to believe him, to believe his lies about sin and pleasure and life without God. That's fulfillment. That is what we have to go in for. We're only here for a short time, so just live as if there's no God. Live as if there's no eternity. Live as if there's no heaven. John Lennon wrote about it. One of the Beatles wrote about it. Imagine there's no heaven. Well, he died. If he died without Christ, he's in hell. Every person who rejects the Lord Jesus and rejects God's salvation and has no time for the Bible and no time for God's salvation, every person who lives without Christ and dies without Christ, after death, they go to hell. The body goes to the grave, but the soul goes to hell. But there's a day coming when into that awful scene of hell, which is the blackness of darkness forever, a girl that I used to work beside used to say there'll be tremendous parties in hell and there'll be this and that and the next thing. There'll be non-stop parties. There's not even a drop of water in hell. And there's no company. You're on your own. And there's just regret and remorse and weeping and terrible anguish, and that goes on until God says the time has come to empty hell, to bring every damned soul in hell out of hell to be reunited with their bodies. The body will be raised from the grave or raised from the sea. Our ashes will come back into the body. God, who took the dust of the earth and created man, will have no problem and reunited body and soul. And then in God's prophetic program, every unconverted, every unsaved person who has come from hell will stand at the great white throne. And at the great white throne, the books will be opened. And the book of life will be opened. And I'm so glad that my name is in the book of life, and every Christian's name is in the book of life. But the book is opened, and the Lord Jesus, the one who could be your Saviour,
The one who would be your Saviour if you called upon him. The one that you've rejected and the one that you've dismissed and said, no Christ for me. I'll go my own way. I'll do my own thing. I don't want him. I don't want God's salvation. Every person who's rejected Christ will see from themselves and hear from the Lord, your name is not found written in this book. You lived without me. You died without me. You made your choice. You took your chances. And you're not found in this book. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Death is at the end of the beginning. It's only the beginning. And forever and ever, that is where you will be. You can hardly take it in. But for the believer, for the person who in their lifetime hears the gospel, comes to the crossroads of understanding, I'm a sinner in the sight of God. And I acknowledge and agree with God, I'm a sinner. But God, out of amazing love, has provided a Saviour. The Son of God went to Calvary. And the Son of God who never sinned, the Son of God who didn't deserve to die, voluntarily offered himself. That's what, if you just look, if your Bible is still open, verse 26 of our chapter says, the Lord Jesus appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And at Calvary 2,000 years ago, friends, the Lord Jesus went into death, sacrificed himself on behalf of sinners, died for the ungodly, died for our sins according to the scriptures, endured the judgment of God. He was forsaken. He was judged. That if we put our faith in the Lord Jesus, we'll not be judged. We'll be forgiven. He was punished that we might be saved. He suffered for our sins that we might be saved. And if we place our faith in him, we turn away from our old ways and from our sins and place our faith in the Lord Jesus and accept the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Every person who is saved, when death comes, instantaneously on the moment of death, the soul rises to be with the Lord Jesus. And the body is sown lovingly into the ground to await resurrection. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, as he's promised to the heir, he'll come. And he'll bring a great crowd with him. He'll bring the souls of every redeemed person with him. And there'll be reunited resurrection. And we'll be forever with the Lord in glory, in heaven. No more separation. No more tears. It's the end of suffering. Death is the end for the believer of suffering and tears. It's the end of sorrows. It's the end of separation. But it's just the beginning of the fulfillment of God's plan for his people. What a glorious future the people of God have. A future that is glorious and bright. A future that can hardly be spoken about in rightful language. Vocabulary just is not enough. We can only imagine what it's going to be like to dwell with the Lord Jesus, to have no more regrets and no more tears and no more sin. It's all because of what he has done. And we believe it. Now, are you ready to die? That's really what I want to finish on tonight. Are you ready to die? Death is an appointment in time. We can't escape it. We can't avoid it. No matter how we try to skirt round about it, it's an appointment. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to me. How are you going to face it? What preparation have you made to face it? I remember speaking to an old man one day, and we got into this subject, and he totally got the wrong end of the stick. He says, I've got a wee insurance policy for my coffin, and I've got my plot all bought. And you know, I was a big lump in my throat because I thought, that's not what I mean. It's not funeral plots. It's not Payne Brownings or Brodies or whatever.
regarding the funeral package, it's being prepared to meet God. It's being ready to die, ready for eternity, because death will be a crossroads. Death is a great separator. It's a great leveller, but it's also a great divider. Some from one family will go to heaven at death, some will go to hell. Some from this town will go to heaven. I fear the majority will go to hell. But what about you? You can only answer that. Is it the end or the beginning? It's the end of opportunities. Death is the end of all opportunities. If you've chosen to reject Christ and that's how you die, that's your final answer, it's the end of any hope. But it's the beginning of judgment from God. You see, your greatest sin will be rejecting His Son. Your greatest mistake will be rejecting God's salvation. But for the believer, death is the end of all sorrow and the end of all suffering. And it's the beginning of joy unspeakable and full of glory. I hope tonight that you'll understand that it's been very, very difficult to speak about this, because it's an emotive subject and it touches us all. It affects everybody. And God knows my heart. There's no pleasure, absolutely no pleasure in speaking about this. God says Himself, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Come, for why will you die? But you know, the Lord does say this, precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. What are you going to do with the Lord? Jesus is your only hope. Because of His death upon the cross, because of His glorious resurrection, and His triumph over death in the grave, He's a living Saviour who can meet your need tonight. Thank you for listening. Shall we pray?